BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
I'm Hazel, I'm 18 and I'm from Killin. You might not know this, but I drove my car into the drive-thru. Anyway, now it's time for my favourite show on the radio, Scott Mills.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
So, Hazel, it's been a good day for you, yeah?
Yeah, really good.
What's happened?
I won an Easter egg.
You won an Easter egg?
Yeah.
And how did you win that Easter egg?
My duck came in the top 25 in a duck race.
Hang on a second. Right, so you own a duck?
No, like, you know, you get a duck in a duck race.
No, I don't.
I've never been to a duck race myself.
Please explain.
You buy a duck, like a plastic one, not a real duck.
Oh.
And they release them all and they float down the river.
Oh, okay. Where was this?
Where I live, in Killin.
So there's a load of plastic ducks floating down a river?
Well, it was last week.
Last week?
I don't know. I didn't go. I was working.
You didn't go to the duck race. But your duck won.
But your duck won.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. I'm sorry, I didn't get that at first.
Well, it didn't even win. It just came in the top 25.
Oh, right. So it didn't even win and you weren't even there.
No, but I got an Easter egg.
You got an Easter egg. Excellent. Yay! Good. I'm right there with you now. I'm sorry it was so blindingly obvious and I didn't get it. Anyway... What was your, introducing the show about today?
Well, I once drove my car into McDonald's drive-thru.
A lot of people have driven through a drive-thru, though.
I know, but I, drove into the bollard.
Oh, you crashed into the drive-thru?
Yeah.
When was this, then?
Just before Christmas. I was very embarrassed.
So what happens? You get there, you make your order on the little
Me and my friends are just going round. It's quite stressful, a drive-thru, isn't it?
So, yeah, you've got to speak to the little speaker, you've got to ask your friends what they want and then speak that into the speaker.
And then you've got to drive as well. Yeah.
There's a lot to do.
And all this driving very slowly.
Well, yeah.
It sounds like you didn't drive slow at all.
I did drive slow. I'm a really good driver.
So you just kind of bumped into the drive-thru.
And the man just jumped out of his skin. It was awful. Because then I was so embarrassed. So I said to him, I was like, well, obviously everyone does this. And then he just looked at me and went, that's £7.29, please.
So was it like, hello, what would you like to order?
I didn't hit that bit. I hit the bit where the man stands.
Did you crash through the wall?
Just the booth.
I do like stories of people that have crashed into things, it's good.
What do you mean by that? That's a terrible thing to say.
I know, but it's quite funny, as long as it's obviously no one's get hurt.
Do you mean just at dramas at the drive-thru?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if anyone's ever crashed all the way through. I'd like that.
Or straight into the kitchen.
Yeah, into the kitchen. Thank you, Hazel, for being on today.
Thank you.
And what's your duck's name?
I called it Gerald.
Gerald. Send my love to Gerald the duck.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Hey, Matt.
Hello.
What's going on?
Well, basically, about 2 years ago, I actually crashed into someone's living room while they was watching EastEnders, and I heard your little link with someone crashing into a drive-thru, so I thought I'd give you a text.
That didn't happen.
Yes, it did.
Right, so you crash into someone's house?
Yep.
And... then you are in the driving seat, in the car, and you're watching EastEnders in the living room with that person whose house you crashed into.
It was absolutely ridiculous, but there was I driving my car, minding my own business, probably listening to Radio 1, and
Don't blame us.
I crashed into someone's house, and she was there, poor little granny, watching EastEnders.
But she was all right.
She was okay, I was okay, so thank God, you know, everything was okay anyway.
But you did get to see a bit of EastEnders while sat in your car.
I did. Probably a bit of Phil Mitchell, to be fair, but that's probably about it.
Oh, my God. So this happened a couple of years ago?
It was about 2 years ago, yeah.
What did the woman say to you?
She came out and she threatened to call the police, actually. There was I hanging upside down and, yeah.
I'm not surprised she threatened to call the police, to be honest.
I know. She probably probably thought I was Phil Mitchell trying to break through to the living room.
No, I don't think she thought that.
You never know.
I thought this kind of thing, this is the kind of thing that only happens in films.
Yeah.
And normally they normally crash into some kind of chicken shed, don't they? And there's like chickens everywhere, feathers going everywhere. And just... yeah. But you were just in some woman's like house watching EastEnders. Did you feel like a stuntman?
I did, yeah.
Good to speak to you, Matt.
Okay, thank you very much.
Didn't think that actually happened. Love you, bye.
Bye.
Oh, cut him off again. You said it the wrong way round.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Today on Innuendo Bingo, Chris.
Yeah?
You are playing against Rihanna.
Oh, wow.
Off of films.
Oh, cool.
The one that talks about films on Radio 1, not the one off of Pop, who you want to get in a Watford shirt.
Right.
So that's going to be at 1:45.
Brilliant.
And you can watch it as well as listening to it on Radio 1 by going to the Radio 1 website. We'll be streaming it live. Very exciting. Got some really good clips from you lot today. Loads of people asking where Becky is. She's still not well, but is hoping to be back soon. But I know she will be listening. And after what happened this time last week, she will definitely be watching Health and Safety on the website just to see if her headphones get in a state again.
Good point, because I am actually wearing them.
They smell of yoghurt. They smell badly of yoghurt and other things.
We shouldn't be saying this, though, because she will be listening.
Yeah, but she ain't here at the moment, so she can't do anything about it.
True.
It's all fine. But just in case you are listening, hi, Becky.
Hello.
Hiya. Everything's fine, and we are adhering to all the health and safety rules for today's Innuendo Bingo.
The Scott Mills Daily.
It's Tuesday. It's 1:45. This is Innuendo Bingo.
We welcome back to Innuendo Bingo, my friend Chris. Hi.
Hello.
And for the first time, it's Rihanna off of Radio 1's Film Person.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you all right?
Input.
Yeah, thanks for that.
That's all right. Well, you know about the films and all that, don't you?
Yeah, I do that. Yeah,
that's what you do.
That stuff.
And for a lot of people, they'll be seeing you for the first time. Are you looking lovely?
Hello, thank you.
Nice stripy top there.
Cheers.
Obviously, you knew you were going to play this today because we
totally knew,
planned it weeks in advance.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for coming in.
It's okay.
Was it one of those things where somebody went upstairs and went, "Everyone want to play Innuendo Bingo?" Was it that?
It was pretty much that. I have to say, I've been waiting for this call for a long, long time.
Obviously, you've heard it many times before on Radio 1. It's one of our most popular features, even though I do say so myself.
It's my favourite.
But now you get to play.
I'm actually really nervous. Now I'm here, sitting about to pop my sort of bingo cherry.
Bin.
Sorry.
You are popping your bingo cherry, and you seem to be concerned about Chris's way of playing the game.
Well, exactly. You're going to be nice to me, aren't you, Chris?
I'm going to try.
You're not going to soak me?
No.
Not on the first one, no.
Not on the first one? How many times are we doing this?
Quite a few.
No, I mean, the first time you played the game, he doesn't totally soak you, but that shouldn't stop you from soaking him.
I'm generally a gentleman with this game, aren't I?
He's a gent. He's all about gent power.
But that doesn't mean that I have to be a lady, does it?
Not at all, Rihanna. Go for it.
Okay, right. Thanks.
Okay, so it's Innuendo Bingo. Remember, for every clip you send in that we use, you get 250 Scott Mills points if we use it. Obviously, I have to leave it up to you. I have to trust you on this. But if I have used your clip and you sent it in, award yourself with 250 big meaty points. Okay, are we ready for some bingo?
Yeah.
Okay, you got your water there?
Right.
Let us know if you're playing along on the Radio 1 website or maybe just listening at work, at college, in your break for lunch. Jen in Cardiff's trying to watch on the website.
Mm-mm.
Emily is watching on a break from revision. Okay, let's focus the cameras on these two. We're about to go in. They've got the water in their mouth. Alice in Colchester has spotted this one, and it's a bit of innuendo bingo from BBC Essex. Let's go.
The whole thing was done at home in a little corner of my office.
Mm.
Well, I work from home now. Mm. And my wife goes to bed, and I sit in a darkened room and play with myself.
Ah, that was a good one.
I'm sorry, Chris, out the top of my mouth.
That was
really
straight in his face.
My wife goes to bed and I sit in a darkened room and play with myself.
Well, we're off to a cracking start there, aren't
That's
we?
That's amazing.
That was a good one. Well spotted, Alice in Colchester.
I'm really sorry, Chris.
Right, no, that's cool.
I soaked myself too.
I'll bank it. It's all good.
Okay. Hello? Sorry. What happened? Chris? You right? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Got your water there?
Mm-hmm.
No danger of spitting it out? Okay. Phil Spencer, he loves it. He's off of Kirsty and Phil. But now... Now the bottom's fallen out of the property market. He's decided he's a secret agent. So that's his new show. And Jamie Rosen, off of Luton, give yourself 250 Scott Mills points for spotting this one. Ruddy?
Uh-huh.
Got your water?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
I'll be going undercover.
If they don't know I'm their secret agent.
Revealing myself to some very unsuspecting owners.
Hello, Caroline. Oh
my God!
Hello.
Chris is gone.
I had this bit. It was dribbling. Gone. I dribbled a bit.
See, that one without pictures is so good. Phil's there revealing himself and they go, oh my God!
Revealing myself to some very unsuspecting owners.
Hello, Caroline.
Oh my God!
Hello, Phil!
That's better the second time you hear it.
It is. Okay, more water, please.
Okay, here we go. I don't think I had enough last time.
You've got to get a mouthful. Okay, good. Here we go.
You know, as we're doing an antiques road trip in an old car, wouldn't mind doing it in that old car. And that's an Auto Union. And that's driven by Dick Seaman.
They both went at the same time there. That was a classic one.
Oh, that was great.
Ben from near Blackpool is watching. Nicole in Bristol says, this is the perfect revision distraction.
Yay.
Hi. Hello if you're watching on the website.
Oh, my cheeks are so cold.
I know, the water is freezing.
Yeah.
I've soaked your headphones, I'm really sorry.
It's all right, they're not mine.
Now, Jess, who is in Merseyside and one of our listeners and is 12, spotted this one.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, dear.
From Anton Deck on Britain's Got Talent. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Right then, this is it. Let's kick off the last semi-final of the week. And first up tonight are 9 men who can all do incredible things with their balls.
Yes.
Oh,
really? Yes.
Oh, no, where did that go?
Oh. Chris, you put your head in front of my splurt. I'm really sorry.
Oh.
Oh, no, it's running down your nose.
It's all right.
I'm really sorry, Chris. You're never going to invite me back now.
Wow, you are. Any product that was in your hair is not in there anymore.
No. Sorry.
It's all good.
Okay. Just take it like a man.
That was good. I like that one, though.
Good.
John Sowler, give yourself some points. He spotted this from the Channel 5 voiceover man, the man that introduces the programmes. You ready?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Susan knows it's time to out Paul, but has he got one more card up his wizard's sleeve?
Chris is gone. Rihanna's held it. Yes! That was clearly a woman as well, not a voiceover man. That doesn't matter.
Has he got one more card up his wizard's sleeve?
Okay.
Good one.
I'm just cleaning.
Okay, just cleaning the palate.
Yeah,
oh,
rinsing.
My God.
More water, please. Jenny in Norwich says, this is the best bingo ever. Dan in Harrogate says, I'm watching on the website. This is the perfect way to stop me revising. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
When we was kids, we used to catch the bus outside here.
Yeah.
Going to Kings Lynn and...
Get on the bus with a dog and a...
Yeah.
A ferret and a net.
Yeah. Come back with a dirty, smelly sack.
Oh, Brianna!
I'm sorry!
That went everywhere.
I didn't know where that was going! Dirty, smelly...
Chris? Good work. The first rule of innuendo bingo is you never repeat innuendo bingo.
Never. Yeah.
I'm learning.
Okay, good.
My cheeks are numb.
Oh, it's Phil Spencer again. In fact, I'm sure he tweeted me in the week going, you can have that one, Millsy. It's like, you're doing it on purpose, Phil, you secret agent, you. More water, please.
Okay.
Rick off Birmingham, give yourself some points for spotting this one. Ready?
Mm-hmm. This week, I've had my hands on 2 different semis.
Oh, Chris is covered.
Oh, no! I'm not even going to pretend to be sorry anymore.
She's just casually dripping off his nose.
Yeah.
Drip. Drip.
That's mainly clean. It wasn't in my mouth for very long.
Good.
3-second rule.
What? Exactly.
Right. Okay, more water, please.
There you are. Get your hands around those.
What are you saying, Chris?
There you are. Get your hands around those.
Ooh, thanks, Kenton.
Oh, I'd rather get it straight down my throat. Oh, that's better.
Chris has gone again. Chris, you've heard that. You've heard that like 10 times.
How can you keep that in? Anyway.
Ah, because I'm used to the arches.
Right,
yeah, darling.
Blimey.
Right, just for Rihanna, take one more sip of water, please. This is just for you.
Okay.
Just testing.
Has he got one more card up his wizard's sleeve?
No. Wait.
Revealing myself to some very unsuspecting owners.
Hello, Caroline.
Oh, my God!
Hello.
I'm just trying you on your own here.
Mm-hmm.
My wife goes to bed and I sit in a darkened room and play with myself.
And she's gone. There we are.
Good.
Nice.
Got there in the end.
Rihanna, thank you for being on today.
Thank you, Scott.
I hope you'll come
Chris.
Back. Please come back soon. Let me know if you were playing along. Let us know if you watched it on the website. That was a good one. Innuendo Bingo, the jewel for Tuesday. Back on Thursday.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
I told you to keep it away from things. Chopsticks in Scotland now has got water all over their English revision. No. And loads of people, every time we do Innuendo Bingo, go, well, if I fail my exams, I'm blaming you. I'm not to be held responsible for that. That was a good one today. I think Rihanna loved it, as all our...
I think she did, yeah.
Our special guests do. More Innuendo Bingo at 1:45 on Thursday. Remember, if you spot anything that sounds a bit on TV or radio, get emailing me, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. You get a juicy 250 Scott Mills points if we use your clip on the show.
The Scott Mills Daily.
That's Natasha in Glasgow, who noticed that I was left-handed by watching Innuendo Bingo today. Yes, I am. She says that tune by 30 Seconds to Mars made the maths revision worthwhile. That was Closer to the Edge, and before that, Maddie and Martin Solvig and The Night Out. It's Scott Mills, 2:10. Tim Minchin, who I understand has hardly any voice, is going to be here just after 2:30. That means it's going to sound super sexy.
Do you know why?
He's lost his voice, yeah. Too much singing. Just after 2:30, Tim Minchin's going to be here. And in a moment, how I got on at the Manchester United Awards dinner... which, for some reason, they booked me to DJ at last night at Old Trafford, even though I know absolutely zero, I mean, really nothing about football. I think there should have been some kind of maybe red button or TV channel commentary with me, like kind of commenting along on what happened last night.
I think you think you're always watching Eurovision. I think you think you're always doing your Eurovision thing,
yeah.
Wherever you go.
Well, I'm doing that next week, so I was kind of practicing.
Yes.
Well, there's this bloke, Valencia, and he kept on going on stage because they gave him all the awards. And Here's a little bit that we recorded when we were at the ceremony.
Valencia, just one player of the season. What are you saying?
Antonio Valencia with the Sir Matt Busby Trophy, the fans' player of the year.
I don't think that's fair.
Why?
Because he's won everything. Just give the others a go.
His playing career, doesn't it?
The others have come here especially, and they've just sat at the table.
That's true, because all the others are there, Giggsy and Skullsy and someone else, E, and...
Oh, God.
They were all there, and it was like, they didn't get up once, they just had to clap this Valencia bloke because he went up time and time again. It's like, give the others a go.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Now, I believe we have on the phone a presenter from BBC Five Live, and of course the host of Talk of the Terrace on ESPN, which I never miss. Everybody, it is Mark... Chappers Chapman. Hello, Chappers.
I haven't actually hosted Talk of the Terrace for 2 years, but as you say, you never miss it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realise they cancelled it.
No, it still goes, but I moved on to other things.
Did you bail out?
Yeah, I did.
You went on to bigger things, I would say.
But it sounds like you're still enjoying it, though, even so.
Despite the fact that you're not the host anymore, I never miss it.
So, were you as full of compliments and as smooth last night?
I don't really know. But you would have loved where I was last night, obviously, the Manchester United Player of the Year Awards.
Mm.
Have you been before?
I have been before, yes. I did it once. I went once and hosted the auction at the end of the at the end of the evening, and I've never been asked back.
Oh, and when was that?
That must have been maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago. The atmosphere was quite good then, because I think that year United had won the title when I did it, so everybody was quite happy. I'm assuming it was slightly different last night.
Well, everyone was saying yesterday that it was going to be a tough crowd. And but it was all right, you know. It wasn't like walking into a funeral or anything. It was fine,
right? I mean, you're used to tough crowds, aren't you?
I am.
Didn't you have a fireworks thrown at you at Strathclyde once, or was that Colin Murray?
No, that was he'd had something thrown at him the year before, and then I got the firework the year after at Strathclyde.
Yeah.
So I mean, it didn't go that wrong.
No, I mean, Park Ji-sung didn't launch an explosive at you or anything.
No, it was fine.
No. But, do you know who Park Ji-sung is?
No idea. But you know...
He's the new presenter of Talk of the Terrace.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, best of luck to him. Now, you know people at Manchester United, obviously.
Yeah.
You've got very close ties. Who on earth, out of all of those people, thought to themselves, who should we get to DJ? I know, Radio 1's Scott Mills.
I have to say, when I heard you yesterday talking about it, I thought it was a slightly strange booking. I hope you don't mind me saying that.
Oh, no, I'm fine with that.
Had you been asked for specifically by Sir Alex Ferguson? Because he has a lot of power at the club.
I don't think that he would have been involved with that decision.
Do you know who he is?
Yes, I saw him on stage last night. I was quite impressed.
What was he doing, a stand-up routine?
Of sorts, actually, yeah, he was. He was quite funny. I mean, he had a right face on him at the beginning, but it's understandable. But he was actually on stage. He did a good turn. He was on first.
So what was the running order then? Him?
Well, it was a man called Jim Rosenthal.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he was the host. And then he brought on Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yes.
And then later in the evening, we had people like Sir Bobby Charlton. He was amazing.
And then did you get him dancing?
No. There was a weird bit. Chris was there as well, he said.
Yeah.
There was a weird bit where the awards kind of finished and then half the room left.
Right.
All the players went and all the important ones.
It was very awkward for everyone involved because Scott was expecting a full dance floor, but they all left.
So it was just you two, the guy doing the auction, and what, a few stragglers?
Yes.
Well, no, there was quite a few stragglers, but I was hoping for, like, Ryan Giggs on the dance floor, you know, and some of the others. But they had to leave, like, as soon as the awards finished and the Player of the Year was announced.
Like, which others were you expecting on the dance floor? Just out of interest.
I was expecting...
Is Chris holding up a sign to you at the moment with names of United players?
I was expecting Paul Scholes.
Can I say, I very much liked the picture you tweeted this morning of you and Rio Ferdinand.
Yes.
It's interesting because I also follow Rio Ferdinand and he hasn't yet tweeted that picture.
No, I don't know why that is. I'm going to tweet him probably and urge him to retweet it.
You had a lovely chat with him though last night, didn't you?
Yeah.
Rio.
I did. Well, there was a series of events that happened really fast, like all together. It was like a blur. First of all, Kevin Webster was on the dance floor watching the Cortinas play live and filming their whole set on his phone.
Right, I bumped into him in Sainsbury's the other day, actually.
Did you?
I quite often see him around. So I'll ask him about that next time I see Kevin in the pub or whatever.
Just get him to show his phone to you, because if you like the Cortinas, the whole set is on his phone.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent, right?
He was right at the front. He was loving it. Then the girl
Was Sally with him or
no,
not?
No, Sally wasn't there.
Having a bit of a difficult time.
I know they've had a hard time lately, and so as a result of that, I think she wasn't there.
Oh, right, okay.
Then the girl from Countdown came up and said hello, and she loves this show, and I said that I love her back, even though I've never actually watched it for 8 years because I've been on air.
And she's called what?
She's called Rachel.
Rachel, that's it. I know that I was beginning to make an S sound, but I knew that. Rachel, she was really nice. She wants to come on the show. I think we should get her on. And then, after the Kevin Webster and Rachel stuff, then I go on to the decks, and I'm on about, half an hour? And then this big, tall bloke comes up to me, and I'm like, oh, who's that? And I'm like,
Chris, who's that?
And he's like, oh my God, that's Rio. And I was like, okay, good. And then he wanted to choose a song from my CDs. You know what, mate, you've seen my CDs. They're not in the best order.
Go on then, what did he ask for?
He couldn't find one song he liked. I stood there with him as he went through Scott's music. He couldn't find one that he liked. It was really awkward.
He went through the whole S Club 7 bit, he went through the 5 bit, he went through Glee.
Yeah, he didn't like Baywatch.
He didn't like Girls Aloud, Love Machine. There was nothing in there that appealed to him. He finally settled on Renegade Master by Wildchild.
That was your final song, wasn't it?
Yeah, because then they pulled the plug.
Worst finishing song ever.
Ever.
Do you know what? And in all of that as well, I think it must be, what, we're now looking at nearly 3 years since I last worked with you, and I don't think you've updated your CD collection in that 3 years.
It's still got some block.
Oh, it's still in. There's some. They're classics. You don't ever want to let them go.
You don't mess with the winning set, do you?
You do not. Chappers, are we right to talk more in a minute?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. I'm enjoying this.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Mark Chappers Chapman is still on the phone with us. You may know him from the... one of the very famous voices on BBC Radio 5 Live, and previously was the host of Talk of the Terrace on ESPN.
Yeah, previously, those are the days.
And also, he used to appear on this show, doing things such as The Big Fact Hunt.
Oh, glory days.
I know.
Glory days.
Anyway, the reason I'm talking to Chappers, not that I wouldn't normally, is that last night I was invited to DJ at the Manchester United Player of the Year Awards, which I was very honoured to do. And I know, obviously, you had strong ties with Man United over the years.
Yes, yeah, and it was obviously a special celebratory night last night.
In fact, it was pretty much all you talked about in the 5 years that I worked with you.
Now, that isn't true.
Oh, well, that and Coronation Street.
And a bit of gay disco every now and then.
That is true, actually. The man of the... night at the Theatre of Dreams. Am I doing well?
The man of the night at the Theatre of Dreams.
Was...
where are you going with this?
Was a bloke called Valencia.
Yes.
He won...
Antonio Valencia.
Yeah, he won loads.
What did he win?
He won three awards, including Player of the Year.
Yeah, well, and so he should as well. He has been United's Player of the Year. He's been brilliant. Did you congratulate him?
I didn't really get a chance. Is he a Spanish?
No, he's Ecuadorian.
So where's he from, Chappers?
Ecuador.
So he had an interpreter with him.
Right.
Because he doesn't speak English.
No, where are you going with this? This could turn into a 1970s sitcom. Where are you going?
What I'm saying is, being an interpreter is quite a cool job.
Oh, right, yeah, go on then.
Because, obviously, this guy Valencia wins three times... the interpreter guy sat on another table, and every time he wins another award, he's like, oh, God, here we go. I've got to get on stage again. And he was proper Manchester, this interpreter, as well.
Well, in my experience of interpreters who work with footballers, they actually just make it up.
Right, well, this is what I was thinking, OK?
Right.
It's an award ceremony. Do you actually have to speak the language to be an interpreter? Do you have to be able to understand what they say?
No, I'm very happy. Thanks very much to everybody that voted for me. We'll do better next year. There you go. End the story.
Let me just play you the moment where Valencia wins the award.
I'm very, very happy to receive all three awards, of course I am, but at the same time I'm still very sad. Yesterday afternoon and evening was a very, very sad time, and last night, I'll be honest with you, was about the longest night of my life.
Now, did he actually say it like that? So here's Valencia speaking.
I'm very, very happy to receive all three awards, of course I am, but at the same time I'm still very sad. Yesterday afternoon and evening was a very, very sad time, and last night, I'll be honest with you, was about the longest night of my life.
Last night, I'll be honest with you.
The interpreter seems to be saying a lot more than Valencia did.
Yes, and that's what I'm thinking. This is a good job, because actually you just make it up, don't you?
You absolutely, yeah. Is Ecuadorian a very minimalist language?
It seems to me like the interpreter's just getting a few things off his chest. I've got to be honest with you, yesterday was horrible. It was one of the worst nights of my life. I want to know what the Ecuadorian is for. I've got to be honest with you.
I'll be honest with you, mate. Are you thinking there could be a new job? Next year, why don't you offer your services for both DJ the party and to act as an interpreter?
Yeah. Yes, because I can just second guess the answers are easy, aren't they?
I'm sure Rio would put a word in for you, given how close you've become over the last 24 hours.
Given how happy he looks in that picture with me.
Exactly, yeah. And how much he likes your record collection.
We need to put that picture on our Facebook because his face is a picture.
So, Scott, what's been the highlight of your season?
I'd say the highlight of the season is just playing for Manchester United because I love it here at the Theatre of Dreams. There we are.
Good answer.
There we are.
Good answer.
Kind of generic answers, aren't they?
Mm.
You don't know what the Theatre of Dreams is, do you?
No, I just saw it on the invitation and I thought it sounded good. But honestly, I had a really, really... It was such a fun night and the lovely, lovely people.
Now you sounded a bit desperate like you want to do it again. Have you got any more football clubs lined up? Because it is the end of season awards dinner, so have
no,
you got any more?
I'm very open.
I've heard that.
If any clubs do want me as DJ and interpreter, then simply get in touch.
Was the audience last night, by the way, as enthusiastic as the ones on the lottery? The old ones are the best, aren't they?
They are, aren't they? You always do that joke. Every time.
Never fails to.
I still enjoy it. Thank you, Chappers. I just wanted to kind of, get some expert knowledge here from someone that knows about the team.
Sounds like you've done yourself proud, and I look forward to seeing more United footballers tweeting their pictures of you with them last night.
Love you, bye.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Mark in Runcorn says, my Spanish colleagues just translated what Valencia said, and it's something like, this prize I will accept with all my heart and humility. That's what you're saying here right now.
I'm very, very happy to receive all three awards, of course I am, but at the same time I'm still very sad. Yesterday afternoon and evening was a very, very sad time, and last night, I'll be honest with you, was about the longest night of my life.
I would do the same. I'd just get it off my chest. You know what I mean? I would add bits in if I was an interpreter. I really would.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And here is our friend Tim Minchin.
Yeah, hi.
I was excited to hear your voice today because I saw your tweet about having to do radio interviews, ahoy, but having no voice.
Yeah, this morning I literally was thinking, I wonder if I could just whisper. I had this sort of sense that I could pretend it was like a conspiratorial announcement of dates or something.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah, well, I think if it wasn't so scary, losing your voice when you're a singer, in an inverted commas, is a very scary feeling. But it doesn't happen very often, and I know why it did. But there's no doubt that in my own head, I sound very sexy indeed.
Yeah, you do. You are
in
sounding
a sort of damaged way.
Yeah, it's slightly too much, isn't it? You want to get a little bit better.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
There
are parts of having a cold where you're like, yeah, no, this is a really good... This is it now,
But when you can actually sort of hear the phlegm,
That's not so nice. And I think you might be at phlegm level.
I'm sort of teetering on the edge of phlegm.
And obviously that might affect the singing, which is a big part of what you do.
Yeah, well, if I had to sing now, I'd be... I wouldn't be able to, but I lost my voice rehearsing, and I wouldn't have done it if I knew I had to sing.
See, it cut out there,
didn't it? Yeah, that was a technical glitch.
So you know what you've done, you know how you did it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Just too much?
Too much singing, but I only had one day to rehearse, and I was doing a lot of backing vocals with my band for these summer festivals, and I want to do lots of backing vocals, so I had to keep singing.
Right. Now, last time I saw you, we'll just briefly gloss over this, I was awkwardly dancing on TV with Ollie Mears on BBC One's Let's Dance for Sport Relief.
In some pretty nice sort of lycra stuff.
And I was cruelly voted off by you. Well, actually, no, not voted off by you, but I got some harsh comments, Tim.
From me?
Yeah.
Really?
Did you recognise that it was me under that wig?
I knew it was you, but I remember thinking I shouldn't be as harsh as I really should be. That was the watered down.
I know. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was watered down.
That was because you're my friend.
Yeah.
We were sort of banking on your vote. We thought that was in the bag.
Yeah.
But wasn't it, by the time it got to me, wasn't it a moot vote anyway?
Yeah. And as one of the other contestants said, just because you're trending worldwide on Twitter, that doesn't mean votes, darling. That was something I probably wouldn't do again.
I think it's for a very good cause.
It is for a good cause, yeah. And I'm glad that we raised as much money as we did. Now, let's talk about Matilda, which is just the hugest thing, the musical that you wrote and composed. It's won so many awards now.
Yeah.
And it's huge. You can't get a ticket, really. You can, but it's booking up to next year.
You have to book forward a bit. And this is a sort of, when you're creating something, you try not to look so far ahead, you know. Yeah. Don't worry about tickets and West End, just write the story, you know. But in the back of your head is, oh, this is quite fun. Imagine if everyone thinks so.
Yeah.
And really, I couldn't have designed a better first 6 months. You know, it's just really captured people's imaginations, and kids are... I've seen a kid walking down the street singing one of my songs. I don't know if can imagine what that would be like to see this little kid coming towards you singing a song you wrote in a studio 2 years earlier. You know, you can't believe it.
I like that feeling with those shows where you go to the theatre, maybe as a family, and everyone leaves with a really nice feeling, and that's what happens.
It's such a strong memory, isn't it, if you're one of the people who was lucky enough to go to the theatre as a kid. And it goes without saying, I think it's incredibly great thing to do with kids. You know, buy lots of tickets to my musical. But I've got such a visceral memory of leaving the theatre, maybe getting an ice cream and being too tired because you usually didn't stay up that late in the car on the way home, having watched a Gilbert and Sullivan or Cats or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's so awesome to think there are kids getting that.
Yeah, absolutely. Know,
for the first time coming to my musical.
With all the awards that you are getting, are you going to all the award ceremonies?
I think I've got to. Yeah. I think I've got to all of them except the ones when I was not in the country.
Right. Okay.
They're pretty cool fun.
Yeah, and but they're all kind of are they all kind of the same? That like someone does a speech, and then you eat a chicken dinner normally.
Well, surprisingly, maybe because of the global financial crisis, there's a paucity of food at these things. You seem to just sit in a seat for 3 hours.
Oh, and not even a dinner.
No, and then suddenly someone's put a whole lot of champagne in front of you, by which time you're starving, so you have two champagnes and fall down with a heavy statuette in your hand, if you're lucky.
It's like, just drink through it, because there's no food.
There's no food, there's no hors d'oeuvres. But, they are a bit different. You know, there's some awards that are publicly voted, and they have a real sense of sort of fun, and there are some that are more austere. I did the South Bank Awards recently, which are very, you know, artists from all, not just theatre, painters, and Tracy Emmons there, and Tom Jones, and you know, Tom Stoppard, and they have a different vibe, and I don't know them, so I just sort of turn up in the same suit and just sort of wait to see how I'm meant to behave.
Oh, you see, by now, Tim, I thought you'd have more than one suit.
I do have more than one suit, but...
But you have an award suit.
I have a lucky award-winning suit. They're all just... two of them are ugly and one of them's okay.
So Matilda is still on doing massive business in London, and I'm hearing that they may open in New York, or they are opening in New York?
Yeah, well, it's all systems go for February next year for Broadway. I mean, things can happen, but it's very much down the path. They're casting and stuff.
Now, I believe... I want to talk about this a little bit more in a minute. You are going to be... big star in America, darling.
Yeah, I'm going to go over there. I really want to change. I'm hoping to change and become a much worse person.
Right, but thinner, and then therefore thinner. Just go to LA.
Yeah, I'm going to LA to get thin and awful.
become the horrible person that you're just not.
Yeah, I've got a terrible person hiding just below the surface, about 10 kilos away.
That'll sure bring it out for you, won't it?
Yeah, totally.
So what are you doing in LA?
Well, I've got a role in the final season of Californication, which is a David Duchovny drama about sex and drugs and family and love and stuff. I'm playing a rock star over several episodes. A little bit of doing the drugs and having the promiscuity that I don't have in my real life.
Okay, so you're kind of like a bit of escapism there?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's incredibly fun. I mean, I was just happened to be in LA doing a charity show, and this script was handed to me by my manager, and they said, we're trying to get you an audition for this. So it wasn't like, it wasn't the sort of I wasn't cast on reputation. They didn't have any idea who I was.
So you had to audition.
So I went in audition, and I haven't done an audition since I found comedy and gave up on acting in my late 20s.
I imagine LA auditions are really quite unpleasant and scary.
Well, I think they would be if you're an actor trying to make it in LA. I mean, you go to some car park in the middle of nowhere near a freeway, and you walk into a not particularly glamorous building, and there's a woman cast, they're usually women, and her assistant, and a camera on a tripod, and they go, right, go, I'll read the other characters, and you just do it sitting on a chair or whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. But one of the wonderful things and the contrast between this audition and the last audition I did 5 years ago for a supermarket receipt in a commercial for a supermarket, I was going to dress up as a receipt. I didn't get the role, by the way. But the difference is that I don't care. I mean, I really, really loved the scene that they gave me, and I thought this would be awesome, but I didn't need it. So I just went in and I did it, and they went, great. Yeah. Do you want to do another take and change anything? And I'm like, no, I reckon that's it.
You're not relying on it to kind of pay the bills, and therefore probably it went in your favour.
acting, comedy, anything you do in life, the world smells your fear.
Yeah.
And if you have no fear, you're a long way ahead down the path.
So you're going to be going to LA, when's this, very soon, to film?
Saturday.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
But then you've got lots of lovely festivals coming up.
How does it work?
So will you be filming in LA, then you turn up in a field somewhere in Guildford, white wine in the sun, okay, bye, and then go back to LA again?
Exactly that.
Excellent.
So basically what's happened, I've got so frustrated with people not understanding the science of global warming that I've decided to completely destroy the environment to prove them wrong.
You're just upping the footprint.
I am. I'm just going, look, let's show them. I'm basically going to cause a tsunami with my flights.
Awesome.
It's terrible.
So you are going backwards and forwards a lot at the moment between here and Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And
the LA gig came in after all these festivals were booked, so I've just tried to not upset anyone, not cancel. So I'm just trying to do the right thing.
It must be quite hard to juggle everything though, because you've got a lot going on.
Yeah, I do. And the worst thing is that I've never missed shows except once for health.
Yeah.
You know, very early on before I kind of figured out how to look after myself. And that's the worst thing is that you have to, because even if it's a small gig and you think, oh well, I've got a role in a TV show, surely that, but someone's booked a train and a hotel and stuff.
That, and you're the kind of person that would really bother you as well.
Well, it does. I mean, I feel like the decision's clear because a lot of people don't know that I wanted to act in my 20s and there were years of not having agents and all this. So it's like, oh my God, this is an amazing opportunity. But yeah, I have a good relationship with my fans. And the worst one is, the worst one for me is Scope, this gig on Sunday night, because charity gigs, that's their one big gig for the year, and I was their name. And there's an amazing lineup. It's still going on. There's still tickets, as far as I know. So please, to appease my guilt, and because it's an amazing charity, go at Sunday night. As you get more opportunities, you get into more little dilemmas about what your priorities are and stuff. And my fans are my priority, but this is long-term dream stuff, you know, so I don't know. I hope I'm doing the right thing. But
yeah, it'll be fine.
It'll be all right.
It'll be fine. Now, I want to know about Jesus Christ Superstar. All I know is that you've been cast in something called Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't know much else about it. I don't know what you can tell me, but tell me.
Well, there's sort of info that I don't know, and there's details and stuff. I think a lot of people. Do you know the musical, by the way?
Yeah,
yeah. I'm a huge fan of Jesus Christ Superstar, right? And it's been the only role I've ever wanted to play in a musical is Judas. And I understudied him twice when I was young in Perth, and I never got to play him because they were amateur productions and they didn't give me a go. So I've had this chip on my shoulder about Judas. Always wanted to play him. Really, really, like, I can't believe I'm going to get to. I think a lot of people know that there's a TV show for the casting of Jesus in the way that Lloyd Webber does.
Yep.
Which is very sensible because it gets a lot of exposure for the show.
So that's happening.
So there's no Jesus yet, and I think there's casting decisions made, but I don't know them.
Isn't that going to be a bit odd and probably get a few complaints? I'm sorry, you're not Jesus.
Yeah. Or why do you want to be Jesus?
Yes.
Look, Jesus Christ Superstar was written in 1969 as a rock opera telling a humanist version of the final weeks of Christ's life through the eyes of Judas, right? And sympathetic to Judas. It got picketed for years.
Yeah.
It has always upset people. And the TV show, just the kind of high camp, popularist thing, will upset people who feel that sacred ground. The musical, which people forget, is actually contentious and has Judas singing, you know, do you really believe this stuff about you being the son of God? You know, and lyrics about Muhammad and Buddha and, you know.
Yeah.
It's a proper rocking, cutting-edge bit of theatre that's actually, for me, in musical theatre, never been bettered in terms of sort of revolutionary musical theatre. It will upset people who are prone to being upset by their sacred story being touched by anyone who's not in a robe. And my casting might upset people who know that I do a bit of comedy about that stuff myself.
Yeah.
But it's already got a lot of satirical lyrics and questioning in it. So my casting actually apart from the fact that it's blowing my mind that I get to do it, makes a kind of sense, you know. So I'm really into it. And
it's a big dream for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome, and it's big stages, and it's going to be loud, and oh, it's going to be really, really good fun. Yeah. I think it's going to surprise some people who think I started as a comic, you know, and that this is a selling out or something. I don't suppose anyone's, because everyone knows I'm theatrical and musical and stuff, but this is where it all comes from for me, you know. And I've written a musical myself now, so I'm kind of right in the world. I'm well into it.
You're in it.
I'm so in it.
Is this going to be on TV? You probably can't tell us. I'm just fishing around. I don't know when.
Like the TV show for the casting of Jesus starts in June or something.
And then what, it moves on to theatres, arenas?
Then it becomes a stage show, and I'm sworn to secrecy on what the venues are and stuff, but all that info is coming out really soon.
Okay.
And it's later in the year, you know.
Very exciting.
It's blatantly going to be arenas, though. He's going to be
brilliant. Yeah, of course it is. It's going to be huge.
I don't do anything other than arenas. If there's not 15,000 people watching me, I just don't go on stage.
Listen, Tim, it's lovely to see you again. It's fair to say, since I last saw you, a lot's happened.
Yeah, it's been a really weird, very fun year.
Yeah, but a brilliant year, and thanks so much for coming to see us.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for talking to me.
Tim Minchin, everyone, on Radio 1. Thank you. The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh! What's occurring?
A mini round of Oh, What's Occurring for your Tuesday afternoon. Did you miss Innuendo Bingo earlier? We now do this on Tuesday afternoons at 1:45. Today, Rihanna off of Films, the lady that talks about the movies and all that on Radio 1, played along with Chris. It got messy in the studio. Just water today. We learnt our lesson from the pea soup and yoghurt debacle last week. But we put it on the website for you to watch as well. If you missed any of it, don't worry about it, because it'll be in the Scott Mills Daily, which we make after the show now, so you can get it the same actual day as the show went out. Look out for it on the Radio 1 website or wherever you get your free downloads from, the Scott Mills Daily. Lots of people downloading that at the moment, normally to use as a sleep aid. All of Innuendo Bingo from earlier will be on there later on after the show. With Innuendo Bingo in mind, Chris, did you see Planet Earth Live the other night? Quite a few of our listeners spotted this.
I missed it.
Apparently it's rather good. And they were talking about one thing quite a lot. Could you put some water in your mouth, actually, and just see if this works?
Yeah, hang on.
Here's the thing they were talking about a lot.
If your winkle fits through there, it's too small. So you need to put your pink winkle through the hole and see if it fits.
Come on, we've done this already today. Oh.
More water?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Do you know, I bet you I could get this winkle through that hole.
Go on, then, you try.
It's a big one.
If your winkle fits through there, it's too small. So you need to put your pink winkle through the hole and see if it fits.
There we are. So, they did say one word rather a lot on Planet Earth Live. For 20 easy Scott Mills points, how many times on Planet Earth Live did they say winkle?
I'm going to go 10.
You're saying 10? What are you saying at home? Let me know. Here from Planet Earth Live the other night is one particular word.
Oh, what's occurring?
But how many are there?
Luckily, this beach is awash with winkles.
Is it winkle o'clock? It's winkle o'clock. There's a nice little winkle.
Oh, here's a good-sized winkle. That's a massive winkle. I've got the biggest winkle.
It's a big one.
That's not as pretty as my one.
That looks a little bit less appetizing than James's.
Stop trying to steal my winkles! Cockle and Winkle stores.
By the power of Winkle. We've got garlic butter to dip the winkles in. I'm going to start prepping this veg for the winkles while you get that going.
Is it
going
to be tasty?
It is. Once you've tasted it, I think you're going to be completely converted. Mm. It's got that
loads
lovely
more taste.
Intrinsic sea taste to it, isn't it?
Real surprise, because to be honest, they just look quite unappetizing.
Yeah.
You taste it and it's...
Yeah, but the taste is really good, isn't it? If your winkle fits through there, it's too small. So you need to put your pink winkle through the hole and see if it fits.
Do you know, I bet you I could get this winkle through that hole.
Go on, then, you try. Stick it through the main bit of his beak.
Pull it out. And that's one of the grossest things I've ever seen. Ever seen. I don't want to find any crabs or other things.
Looks quite nice, doesn't it?
Looks lovely.
They look a bit rubbery, but they're not as chewy as you'd expect.
James, give me winkles.
1, 2, 3.
You always win that!
It's my mind winkle powers. I don't think one person needs that many winkles.
Oh, you do. Once you've tasted them, you won't be able to stop, honestly.
That was a magical afternoon.
Wow. 18. 18 Winkles in there. If you said 18, award yourself 20 Scott Mills points. Elliot from Derby was bang on with 18. Jack was one out with 17. I'm sorry, I can't give you the points. And 10 Scott Mills points. Sorry, 10 you said.
Yeah, doesn't 10 get you, Winkles. No
doesn't
near.
Get you 20 Scott Mills points. But if you did say 18, then award yourself immediately.
BBC Radio 1. BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Okay, maybe it was on Hungry Sailors, not Planet Earth Live. Soz.